Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show.
Welcome back to the Eric Stewart Show. I have psychiatrist Stuart Rosenthal joining me today. How are you, doctor?
I only play a doctor on the radio.
Stuart's with the Beacon newspaper, and every week he brings us the information that we all want to know about. Interesting insights this past month here in A Healthy Mind, your article.
Thank you.
Yes, Tell us about that.
I write a column every month, and I had gone to a presentation by someone from the Maryland Mental Health Association, and I was very impressed with what I learned, and I sort of condensed a lot of it into this column, and I describe where people can go to get more information, which, of course, is what you really want from someone who knows what they're talking about, because I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist.
Right.
But what I was talking about is the fact that this new term that you hear a lot, I've heard it for years myself, behavioral health.
Yes.
And you sort of think, what does that mean after all? And the truth is, it means what a lot of people, whatever they want it to mean, because it's a very loosey-goosey term.
Okay.
It's used in different ways in different places. But just to sort of explain, the most limited use of the term, which is the way the government tends to use it, like the Maryland government uses it for purposes of the Behavioral Health Administration, which determines how much, you know, it's covered by insurance and whatnot, that has to do with, you know, what we've always considered to be mental health issues, you know, mental illness, I should say, substance abuse and addiction, and brain injury. So that's a limited number of things.
Got it.
It's more widely used by the advocacy community to also include really anything that's brain-based disorder, including dementias of all type and cognitive impairment.
Mm-hmm.
And then furthermore, there are just sort of senior advocates and others out there who use it to refer either to the – also to the – mental behavioral conditions that arise from medication side effects or from delirium, which may be caused even by something like your urinary tract infection or dehydration. So there are so many things that are happening that are now grouped under this behavioral health
label. So it's just anything. Right. So it's, if you expect someone to behave a certain way or the part of the body to behave a certain way or whatever it is that we expect it to behave a certain way,
right.
It could be physical, it could be social.
Well, the physical is still somewhat different. There is a slight difference, but there's a relationship, which is the point, I think, that you're trying to get at. The point is that our minds affect our bodies, and our bodies affect our minds. So if we're dehydrated or have a urinary tract infection, it may affect how well we think, and then it even may cause cognitive impairment, and people confuse that with dementia.
Yes.
It may not really be the same thing as organic dementia, but it appears the same way behaviorally.
Okay.
So the point is, we talk about the mind-body connection, we talk about a healthy mind and a healthy body, but they both work both directions, because when you have a mental illness, you often get a physical side effect of some sort, and vice versa, because, you know, these things are all related. When I say, for example, they say if you have heart disease or diabetes or even hearing loss, that increases your risk of depression and anxiety. And when you have depression and anxiety, it changes your stress hormones, which affects your body's ability to fight off disease and can make you sick physically. So, I mean, all these things really do connect. So the behavioral umbrella tries to cover all of that.
Right. I can see the correlation between one thing and another. And dehydration, great example. When I have not been drinking enough water, I can get tired. And then if I'm not actually resting, or I can think that I need to sleep, well, really what I need is just more water.
Right.
So,
right.
Okay, good point.
Yes.
And read about this in the Beacon newspaper. You can get a free copy at over 1,500 locations around the D.C. metro area. Folks, you can also call them at their 301-949-9766 telephone number if you want to find out where the drop locations are. Or even better, if you're online, if you've got an iPad, iPhone, or whatever, you can read it at thebeaconnewspapers.com. So besides that, any new technology?
Yes, very interesting tech article. Very short one, but it's very interesting. There's a new device out recently released called the ORCAM, O-R-C-A-M, which reads almost anything, including facial recognition faces, for those who are sight impaired or blind. So, for example, let's say you need to read some text, you need something on a cell phone or a smartphone or a sign, or even recognize somebody who's come into the room. This device will pick it up through a tiny, tiny camera on your glasses frame using a wire that connects to a device that's in your pocket that does all the processing. It'll then play something in your ear that only you can hear and read it out to you. So if you can't read a sign from a distance and you can't read a piece of instruction or on a pill bottle or something, or someone walks into the room and you want to know who it is, this device can take care of it all for you unobtrusively at a cost of $3,500. which includes the training, one-on-one training for it. So
what
it's
a bargain.
Yeah.
So you have essentially a personal assistant to read signs, read newspapers to you, read a book to you.
Exactly.
Or even recognize people and tell you who it is.
Right.
Wow.
Right. I've not actually experienced trying it out myself, but there were some times this month when people are showing them how it works. So.
That's O-R-A-L-C-A-M?
No, oral? Just O-R.
O-R.
O-R-C-A-M. ORCAM.
ORCAM. Okay. ORCAM. Very
And ORCAM.com is the website, so take a look.
All right. Thanks, Stuart Rosenthal.
Thank you.
All right. For many of you, you know who I am. I have been selling real estate for a long time. It's called the Eric Stuart Group at Long & Foster Realtors. Before that, I was at Llewellyn Realtors for 25 years. I grew up in Potomac, Maryland. I went to Cold Spring Elementary School. I went to Landon School in Bethesda for my middle school years and then got into the theater and transferred to Wooten High School and graduated there in 1982. I went into the theater, studied drama at Southern Methodist University in their BFA of acting program for 2 years. And then I came back here into the Washington area and I acted for a year in local community and professional theater. I went back and finished my degree at my grandfather's urging at the University of Maryland. And in 1987, decided I really didn't want to act for a living. I met a guy named Charlie Llewellyn, a group of guys that were working at Llewellyn Realtors, and got into the business of selling homes, thinking I would do it for just a few years. And here I am 28, 29 years later. It's become my career. But the nice thing is that my theatrical background has played into what I do in real estate, and I've done this show here for now 12, 13 years, and I'm grateful. I've been involved in doing a lot of work. I've got five kids, a wonderful wife, and my kids range in age from 13 to 23, and I can't believe it. So I started doing this radio show here on WMAL now 12 years ago, using my real estate skills that I had from selling a lot of houses. And in my theatrical background, I was encouraged to do a show on real estate for half an hour on WMAL. And now it runs for an hour. And at least my mother listens here at 7 o'clock, you and my mom, all of you wonderful listeners. I think there's about 12,000, 13,000 of you who get up on Sundays to listen to me. So it surprises me when I wake up and I get a cup of coffee and I can sit here and have a conversation with you. So thank you. I also started a nonprofit organization to help widows and widowers, and the goal really is to fulfill a mandate from the Torah and the Talmud and from the New Testament to care for widows in distress. So I didn't really understand what it meant to care for widows in distress. In fact, I didn't really understand it at all, but ultimately, there's no really specific, consistent method for caring for widows as a demographic anywhere. There are churches and synagogues and senior centers that have outreaches and groups. And a goal for us is to build a network of these groups that already exist and be able to connect people with them so that they can find them. A lot of times, we don't know about it unless we're the member of a church or a synagogue or a local senior center, right? There's a lady named Leanne Sherman who works for me, and some of you may even know who she is. She's been on the show here before. I started to really find an audience here in the show. After doing the show now 12, 13 years, I've developed an audience of folks who listen, this demographic of 55 to 85-year-olds, of people who are on their way to Mass or they listen for 10 minutes on their way to church or on the way to the grocery store or perhaps on their way to the gym. Thank you for listening. Everything that I do is about trying to be helpful to people, to protect people, whether it's the seller of a piece of real estate or it's a widow in distress. And as I started really to find an audience and begin to speak at local retirement communities, Asbury, Ingleside, Riderwood, and other communities right here in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, Vinson Hall, and Ashby Ponds, I speak 20, 30 times a year on how to right-size your life now, how to downsize, how to go through this process of getting rid of your stuff, and in some ways have become a bit like my dad. You know, my dad was all an OBGYN. He was in a different kind of delivery. I'm here to help you deliver through the process of getting rid of your stuff. You're moving or not moving, doesn't really matter. Did you know? Hey, 95% of folks never move. Let me say that again. 95% never move. In fact, as a real estate agent, I want to speak to you about what would serve you best, even if it's not moving. So, like a physician, taking care of my client first, right? I mean, my goal is to take care of you. Everything I try to do is about how can I help you where you are right now. Some of you are going to want to make a move, of course. You'll want to downsize. You'll want to do something. A lot of you will say, look, I really enjoy my home. I like the connections that I have. I want to stay where I am. I want to figure out how I can stay right here as long as I possibly can because of the golden chains, the neighbors that are around me, the people I know, the doctors I know, the restaurants I enjoy, the happy hours that I go to, whatever it might be. This is how to age in place. It's the product of 28 years, 2,500 transactions, this radio show. My theatrical studies have taught me how to find the through line, which is what an actor needs when he's trying to figure the way through the beginning of the play to the middle of the play, all the way through to the climax into the end of the play. What does the playwright Eugene O'Neill, say Tennessee Williams, what does he write into the play that drives the characters forward to the point of making a change in their lives? Each of us could live a preferable future, which is a concept which really speaks to what it is we want our lives to look like and how we can get there. But first, we have to start with where we are. Where are we now so we know what our preferable future could look like? Stay tuned, and I'll tell you right after this.